Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'm...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. Hopefully, she'll be with us next week for a program. And we have our website, Prophetic News. That's under my name, propheticnews.com. But the YouTube channel is under my name, and that's Susan Puzio. So we have our website, propheticnews.com, and we have our YouTube channel that's under my name. And we also have our book out, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And that book is available on Amazon and Lulu and Barnes & Noble. It's available on many websites. Now, the reason that we sell our book on Amazon, it's not because we make a bundle of money, because we don't. The purpose to have it on, to offer the book for sale, is because you get a larger audience. You have a potential of reaching many more people when you put it up on these book-selling websites, because I'm not a big fan of Amazon anyway. I mean, the guy's going to be a trillionaire pretty soon, so how much money should this guy make, really? But that's the reason that the book is for sale, because we can reach more people by putting it where you have a larger market, so... But anyway, we should be updating the book sometime this year, I hope, and getting it updated and getting it back out on the market. So many wild things going on. There's always something going on, isn't there? And I think it's so disturbing, this program that we're going to do today about Ernest Angley, but maybe some people never heard of him. He's been around forever. I think he's 98 or 99 years old now. He's really old. And, but he, back when I first saw him, he was on so many of the, and I always say so-called, because most of these networks aren't Christian, really. They're just money-making machines for greedy preachers, and they shouldn't allow fundraising on these networks. That's what I would do. I would just say, look, if you come on the network and pay for your airtime at a reasonable rate, and don't do any fundraising. Just preach the gospel, please. You know, but it's been a very lucrative way for people to make money. So they lose their first love, and then it becomes an embarrassment. Oh, they say, oh yes, we want to reach out to a lost and dying world. But the world looks at most of it and laughs and says, wow, these people are so fake, because they can spot phony people probably easier than some people that call themselves Christians, especially when they've been brainwashed by these people that call themselves pastors, like this guy Ernest Angley, which, this is so disturbing how despicable this man was to the people that trusted him. And I guess one of the main reasons why I want to talk about this today is to tell people, because this man had been doing perverted things to people at his church for many years, and it really was covered up. And people knew about it. People that surrounded him knew about it, and they didn't really do anything. They just allowed this man to stay there and basically make this church his playpen. And if you're in a church or and people are being sexually abused, you need to report it. You need to stop it. These people should not be in positions of power. I think, to me, it looks like the people that surrounded him were more interested in keeping their positions there at what they called a church, but I wouldn't call it a church. It was, and probably still is, more like a cult, the things that went on there. And I didn't know all these things about Ernest Angley, of course, back in the 1980s when I first used to see him on television. I thought he was strange. He's kind of a weird guy anyway. But I would never have believed the things that came out in the press and the lawsuits that were filed against him. And then, of course, you'll hear audio recordings today. The words came out of his own mouth, the things that he did to people. Anyway, it's so despicable. I can't believe that people that call themselves Christians and they call themselves ministers, that they allow these men to continue to do what they're doing. You have to put a stop to it. So if any of this stuff goes on in the church that you go to, or you know where these things are going on, house and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and I won't go into the gory details, but so the guy makes the recording to back up, to get evidence in case he ever needs it, that if anybody did come, well, somebody did come like 10 years later, I think it was, or 20 years later, I'll have to look at the date, and make the allegation that he was molested by Ernest Angley, one of the associate pastors. So the guy that made the recording stayed there in his position at the church, and he knew what was going on, but he did nothing. Oh, he said people would probably get hurt. Yeah, people got hurt. The people that got hurt after the fact, when he continued molesting people, who knows how many people there were. There was only one young man that I know of so far, a young man named Brock Miller, who came forced by being molested by ministers. And it's just so despicable. It's just so despicable. I couldn't believe these audios and the articles that I found when I was doing the research for this program. Oh dear, it's just awful. Anyway, I want to play some of these clips that I have here. Let's start this clip about him taking advantage of a widow.
Ministries and its Grace Cathedral and Winston Broadcasting Network. On Monday, we told you a $3.6 million civil foreclosure was filed against the Akron-based church and broadcasting network. Now, as Carly Flynn Morgan tells us, the church faces another lawsuit.
76-year-old Bridget Pollard of Chicago supported Grace Cathedral for years, giving small amounts of money and traveling to the church at least twice. Pollard has no children and her husband died in 2015. The Cook County Public Guardian's office got involved earlier this year when these deteriorating conditions were discovered at her home. Don Lakowski Keller handles Pollard's case.
The court found that she cannot make decisions for herself.
A doctor found she lacks the capacity to make sound, reasoned, rational decisions and is unable to make personal or financial decisions.
Her home was extremely hoarded, dirty. She had taken in, you know, animals, squirrels, and mostly feral cats.
Pollard's Public Guardian discovered a check from May of 2016 made payable to Grace Cathedral for $340,000. Court documents show a singer from the church, Corliss Whitney, traveled from Ohio to Chicago, took possession of the check, and delivered it to Ernest Angley Ministries.
And she gave this huge check, which is basically more than half of her life savings. And it's ridiculous. No one in their right mind, living the way that she was living, would give away that kind of money.
Now the Public Guardian's office is suing to recover all $340,000 for Ms. Pollard.
It's my opinion that Bridget was stalked like prey by the church.
Attempts to contact Corliss Whitney were unsuccessful. Calls to the church and the church's attorney were not returned. The next court date in this case is scheduled for March. The Public Guardian's office says they plan to fight for every penny. Carly Flynn Morgan, Channel 3 News.
So here's a lady that gave away half of her life savings. Well, obviously you don't do that when you're still alive because she's only 70. She may live another 20 or 30 years, so she's going to need her money to take care of her. She's a widow. And obviously she's not in her right mind if she's hoarding and doing the things that she was doing. But they didn't think anything of taking this $340,000 from this widow. What did Jesus say? Don't rob widows' houses. But vultures are out there looking for widows, and they take advantage of them. When I was listening to that clip, it sounded like it was breaking up real bad. I don't know if it's my equipment or if it was the clip. But anyway, if it came across garbled, which it sounded like that to me, let me play this other clip. So here's kind of an introduction to Ernest Angley by himself.
I believe the miracle power of Almighty God is for everyone today. I was visited by God when I was 7 years of age, carried away by His Spirit, carried into the stars of heaven. There were stars everywhere, millions and millions of stars, and no way to number them. God said the stars were the souls that I would win for Him. With this heavenly vision from God, I bring to you His message of love, faith, and hope, salvation and healing for all mankind throughout the whole earth.
Reverend Angley invites you to attend a special life-changing service at the Grace Cathedral held each Friday evening. Your life will never be the same. People from all over the world attend to experience deliverance for soul, mind, and body. Reverend Angley, pastor of this world-famous church for the past 21 years, welcomes your attendance. Whatever your need, we believe God has the answer and is willing to hear your prayer. Reverend Angley and the church members believe that the crown of life will be our reward for faithfulness. We want to help you in any way we can. May God bless you is our prayer.
And a big hello to everybody today. The Crusade is coming to you from Tampa, Florida. We showed you the Saturday night service already. And this is the Sunday afternoon service when I was in Tampa the last time. It is something fantastic what God did. I want you to call a neighbor and tell them about it. It's some crusade service. And my singers are going to sing for you. It'll be all right. I know you're going to be blessed today in an unbelievable way.
Anyway, that sounded like it was coming across garbled, and it sounded pretty good, so I don't know what was going on. Anyway, I apologize, because he was basically then giving his testimony about how the Lord took him to heaven when he was 7, and of course that makes him special. And his big thing was that he had a healing ministry, so he would travel all over the world, and he would lay hands on the sick. That was his big deal. So people would flock to his services and to his church. And of course, we had talked about Rex Humbard a few weeks ago, and Rex Humbard built one of the first mega churches, I would say. There's probably been others that I know of. I know Amy Simple McPherson built a mega church in the 20s in Los Angeles. There probably were others, but anyway, his church could seat 5,000 people, and this was, I think, in 1954 when he built this church and sold it to Ernest Angley in, I think it was 1984, and he bought the church, and Rex Humbard also had a television station, so that could be quite valuable now that it, with the television station and the license and this huge building, which I think there was a lawsuit. I think I even might have the clip that there was going to be a foreclosure a few years ago on the television studios. So he had to come up with $3 million or something. And I guess he came up with it, because it's not foreclosed. It didn't get foreclosed that I know of. But let's hear this clip about healing. I'm waiting for this thing to come on. Sometimes the computer is slow. Here we go.
God is healing the sick. If you had a knowledge of the Word of God, you would know this. And when you talk like that and other people talk like this, it's because you don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. Didn't the disciples, don't you believe in prayer?
What gives you?
Do you believe in prayer?
How is it that you...
I want to know if you believe in prayer.
How is it that you...
Do you believe in prayer?
I'm asking the question.
I'll ask the questions,
no,
too.
I'll ask
all right,
the
then the interview's over with. I'll
Why
let you
it?
Go. If you can't answer my question, then I'm not going to deal with you.
Sir, I came in to interview.
That doesn't make any difference. I asked you a question.
Questions.
Do you believe in the power of prayer?
How is that germane?
Do you believe in it?
How is that germane?
Because if you believe in the power of prayer, then you have to believe in miracles. Do you believe in miracles? Do you? Do you believe in miracles?
There's
no need for me to talk to you if you don't believe in miracles.
Why is it that one preacher can deal with so many people, heal so many people, when other preachers can't? How do you have that special knack that you can do that?
I don't have a knack, sir. If you're going to talk like that, I won't give you an interview. This is no knack. Aren't you ashamed to throw off on the Word of God like that and call this a knack? Don't you fear God? The Bible says that God is the healer. And Jesus came and healed the sick. The Bible said they could. The Bible said in the 16th chapter,
why they can't do it?
I fast, I pray, and God answers prayer, man. God answers prayer.
So that's where other ministers...
And if they would fast and pray, there's more people praying for the sick than Ernest Angley. But see, you just don't believe in miracles. You don't really believe in the blood of Jesus. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God? Do you believe that? No.
Are you ready?
Okay, I think I'm back. Oh, dear. I don't know. I think maybe on Saturdays they're probably busy here. I don't know what's going on with this Blog Talk Radio, but for the past few weeks we've been having issues with the broadcast, and so I'm not sure. But anyway, we're back on, so we will continue with our Ernest Angley expose. So I think we're back on now. So anyway, it's a sad state of affairs. And you hear of these kind of crazy things going on in churches, or they call them churches, but like I said, I don't really call them churches. So, but okay, we have sound. That's what they're saying in the chat room. All right, we're back. Anyway, it was very disturbing for me to have to go through these audios and then to realize that this man has been, it seems like a predator for many, many years. And they're in Akron, Ohio, and the building's still open even after, even after the things that came out. Here's a news clip from a local news station there.
That I was never going over there again, no matter what. And it didn't matter if I lost my job, if I lost everything. I was never, ever going to do that again. And I didn't. And that was the moment that really, really fully opened my eyes. And after that, it was just a matter of time before, I had lost heart. I really had. It was hard for me. Like, I loved the people, and I loved my job. And, like, my favorite part of my job was being able to encourage and uplift people. And whether it was by preaching sermons, which I prepared myself, and I loved to do that, or going into hospitals and nursing homes and praying for people and encouraging them, like, I love doing that. But after that, when I knew, I just knew in my heart that he was a fraud and that he wasn't this man of God that he was saying he was, my heart just sank.
And we continue. Now, before we get into this next segment, just a word of warning to families who are watching. The subject matter may get a bit graphic. Internationally known local televangelist Ernest Angley has been entangled in a lawsuit alleging sexual abuse that came to light last summer. Now, the Akron Beacon Journal has obtained a recording where Angley admitted to his assistant minister the encounters alleged in that law. Joining us tonight is the reporter behind a two-part story this week detailing this new twist in the case, but a guy has been following it beyond this two-part series, and that is Bob Dyer. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Jimmy. Thanks.
Why do you think this was recorded in the first place?
This was recorded in 1996,
okay,
by the assistant minister because he had confronted Angley before about this incident. Angley got real worried about blackmail, so he wanted to have some proof in case Angley, which he did, started saying terrible things about the assistant minister.
The conversation is shocking,
it is
kind of very definitive, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you cannot listen to that and not think that there wasn't something going on.
And go ahead.
The thing about it to me is I don't care what he does behind closed doors. With two problems, though, with him. One, he's been preaching for decades that homosexuality is a sin.
That's right.
And you're going to go to hell.
That's right.
Two, he was doing this with underlings, people employed by the church. And that's where I think the big problem comes
from. Tell me about this former Reverend Brock Miller, who is suing Angley over this.
He is. I interviewed Brock about a year ago, and he wanted to lay out the full story. When I did the series 4 years ago, he wouldn't talk. He thought it over. He wanted to get it out there. So he said that Ernest Angley had abused him sexually for on and off for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't take it, and that's why he left. And he wants to go after him and get some monetary damages.
What is the state of that ministry right now in the Grace Cathedral and the television show?
They're still going. I don't know what the attendance is. They won't tell us what the attendance is. They've never released that.
Have some people, though, within the congregation been shocked by this and said no more?
Well, he says, do not read the Akron Beacon Journal. The devil has taken them over. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons he's been able to maintain as many followers as he does because it's a cult. I mean, they're brainwashed. They have very little outside influences.
He's 97 years old, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What is his involvement with this ministry right now at 97?
He's still running the show.
He is running the show.
The heavy lifting is done by some other younger people who in some ways seem like clones of his.
Sure.
But he's still preaching from time to time, and
Bob, is this a civil situation, or could it become a criminal situation?
I don't know what the statute of limitations is, but I think he'd have a tough time with a criminal. It's in common police court in Summit County, and he's asking for all kinds of damages.
If he's at the pulpit saying, don't read the Akron Beacon Journal, I assume he is not speaking to you. But you did speak to him at one point, right?
He spoke to us for the series 4 years ago for about 90 minutes, an interview in his office. And I'm pretty sure after the fact he regretted it. I always tell people the worst thing you can do is say no comment because then they think you're hiding something. I think if he had to do it over again, he would not have talked to us because he admitted some things that just dug him a deeper hole.
From the organization, his congregation, his ministry, have they commented to you at all, or are they staying away?
The organization won't talk to me at all, nobody in the hierarchy. Some members have left anonymous voicemails, I'm the work of the devil and that sort of thing, but most of the reaction I've gotten is from former members who say, thank God, this is finally getting out.
Well, Bob, excellent job. I'll tell you, I know you've been on this for a long time, and now a new revelation here, and a great job reporting on it.
Thanks, Jim.
So what does it take? It takes the world to expose these things that are going on behind closed doors? It's awful. It's awful that the church doesn't deal with these situations like they should deal. It's like throw the bum out and that's it. Now, this is one of the reasons why you'll hear in your own words. Now, this is shocking. This is really shocking that this kind of thing was going on over there with grown men. Oh, anyway, here you'll hear Ernest Angley himself admitting to this practice in his office.
Hi, this is Bob Dyer. Here are some excerpts from the 90-minute interview I conducted with Ernest Angley. It took place in early September in his office at Grace Cathedral. Reverend Angley says that when men in the congregation agree to get a vasectomy, he calls them into his office and has them drop their drawers so he can examine them before and after their vasectomies.
Yeah, obviously, you're not a medical doctor. You would often examine men's genitals before and after vasectomies. Why would you do that?
It's swelling. It's real awful. And I didn't touch them. I just prayed for them. And then I'd get success for most of them. God did it, not I. And then if they didn't go down, I would insist to the doctor. And guys don't like to go to doctors, I'll tell you. And I'd have a time trying to get them to do the right thing. One of them, one of his testicles fell out. And he didn't know what to do.
It actually fell out?
Actually,
wouldn't he be screaming in agony and calling 911 or something like that?
Well, that wasn't for me to do. See, I wanted him to get to the doctor.
Well, I can't believe he could even function.
He did. He was frightened enough to go. And the doctor appreciates me, you know, sending, looking after him.
Other than the Shakers, I'm not aware of any religious group that has discouraged its members from reproducing. But at Grace Cathedral, parents are told having kids is not a good idea.
I'd like to ask you this. Most churches that I'm aware of want to grow their congregations, but I've talked to a lot of people who say you encourage your members to have vasectomies and even abortions. Some of those people say they were talked into getting abortions and vasectomies and now regret it, saying they were brainwashed. What is your reaction to that, and why don't you want the congregation to
reproduce? My reaction to that is that they are lying about it.
Okay. But you obviously encouraged people to get vasectomies. Is there a reason that you...
If they want it.
You didn't advise them that would be a good idea?
If they come to me... They talk to me about it. They want advice. That's up to them. You know, I can't regulate their lives. but I can advise them about things if they ask me.
So all these people who say that you strongly encourage people to get vasectomies are lying?
Well, there's not all that many people. You know, there's the many people you haven't talked to.
Reverend Angeli was accompanied during the interview by Associate Pastor Tmachemer and Usher Mike Kish. After Kish said he would hate to bring a child into the world, I asked Reverend Angeli about Kish's comment.
Would you agree this is a bad time to bring children into the world?
It really is. It really is. I wouldn't want to be brought into this world now.
Even if you had strong faith?
No, because the people of strong faith go down.
You haven't.
And your children are in danger when they have to guard them.
Yeah.
And they're killed. It wasn't like that when I was a kid.
Yeah, look at all
the pieces. We could walk up and down the streets, we could play at night, and we were not molested at all.
Yeah.
In this clip, Reverend Angeli talks about a man and woman who he thinks made a big mistake.
One of our guys, he's an engineer, different nations, and this girl, she wanted a baby. She's a second wife. And so, you know, those vasectomies can be undone.
Yeah, they're reversible.
And he had it undone for her sake. I knew he shouldn't have. We almost lost her. And they had twins, and one of them died.
At birth.
And,
at birth, the twin died.
Yeah. And the little boy, he is something else.
Yeah.
He really loves me, and he tries to get to me, and he likes to come down and bring money when I'm taking up the offering.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had my 90th birthday, they really pulled a big one on me, and the balloons and marching and all. And he'd get right down to the altar and look up at me and just grin.
Yeah.
And the daddy, he's proud of him, but he knows he did the wrong thing.
By getting the vasectomy reversed.
Yeah.
During the interview, I asked Reverend Angeli about specific incidents reported by former members who agreed to be named in the articles. In this segment, I asked him about Shane McCabe and his wife, who both say they were abused in the church by adults when they were young.
Kim McCabe's wife said that she was abused by another church member, and you urged her and the family to cover that up, too. Is that something you would typically do if there was a case of abuse? Would you tell them to not talk about it?
Well, they shouldn't talk about it, but they can do something about it. But they ought not to spread it abroad,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that hurts others.
Mm-hmm. But shouldn't other people be warned that this person
would... Well, yeah, if they're dangerous, if somebody, you know, makes a habit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we get them out. We get them out. We
Nobody
just let them know they
out.
Have to go.
Nobody got him out. I don't know if you could believe that, what you just heard there. It's unbelievable. You can't believe it. You can't believe it that grown men go into a pastor's office and let the pastor inspect their private parts. Who does that? Except crazy people. Crazy. They need to go over there to that place and put a lock on the door and shut the place down and don't let anybody ever go back in there again. It's just ludicrous. And then to say when people complain that they were being abused at the church, he says, well, they shouldn't spread it because people could get hurt. People could get hurt. That's the ultimate in brainwashing is, oh, wait a minute now, if you're being sexually abused at a church, don't talk about it because people could get hurt. It's insane. Anyway, let's listen to Romans 1. Let's listen to what Romans 1 has to say about these people.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Obviously. Oh, dear. They should take heed to that word over there, that's for sure, at this place that they call a church. But this is the thing, too, is that when a church starts getting off into error, this is usually what happens, is there's homosexuality that's going on, and there's adultery. There's all kinds of weird stuff that starts going on, and drugs and alcohol. So that's why it's so important that if you start seeing these kind of things going on where they start getting off into error in their doctrine, and if you bring it to their attention and then they won't repent or they won't change their doctrine, then you have to get out of there, because there's, look at what happened at this place. People were just crazy, just acting crazy. And this man has been able to pastor, and I wouldn't even call it a pastor. He's been able to stay there since they bought the place in 1984 and take advantage of these people the way he has. It's just despicable. Here's another quote from Ernest Angley.
Will you use inner naked?
Well, I get failed often.
That's over.
But you're never on for forgiveness, and you people.
Here he says he's been confronted by the elder in his church, and the elder has a tape recorder hidden. Of course, he never really did anything about it, the elder. And he's confronting Ainsley with the fact that he was caught with a man at his house, and he says to him, well, you were naked. He said, well, I never said I wasn't, but I repented of it, and you people keep bringing it up. Well, obviously, they keep bringing it up because you're supposed to be the pastor of this church. And it's like, what kind of an example are you? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it myself when I was listening to these people testifying from the church and reading the articles, and nobody was really doing anything about it, and most of it didn't really come out to the public until this lawsuit with Brock Miller, who was supposedly molested. Of course, he made the accusation, and they settled the case, so there was never a trial. So Ernest Angley was never found guilty, but he did settle the lawsuit for an undisclosed amount. And so you can only assume, like I said, if somebody's innocent, there would be no way that you wouldn't defend yourself of such a horrible allegation, which would put a blot on your reputation for a long period of time. But let me see if we can play this audio. I might have played it before, but let's try this one from Brock Miller, the accuser.
A lot of times all I can do is just say a prayer every morning thanking God for helping me to get out of there, for setting me free from that bondage that I was in.
Since birth, Grace Cathedral Church was his life. And to Brock Miller, its leader, the Reverend Ernest Angley, was mystical.
I thought that he was truly, you know, this holy man, this prophet of God, one of the greatest prophets of God to ever walk the earth.
So it was a joyful moment when he says Angley personally delivered a message from God. He wanted 17-year-old Brock to become a pastor.
I was shocked. I remember my instant reaction was just to start crying because I really felt thankful.
As a pastor, Brock witnessed Angley's inner circle over a decade.
A side of him that I didn't know existed.
And he says it was often dark.
As a pastor, part of my job, anybody that I married, I had to call in the young man and tell him that it was God's will for him to have a vasectomy, that he needed to have that vasectomy, that it's not God's will for you to bring kids into the world, and, you know, the world is too evil.
Still a virgin at 19, Brock had questions. Naturally, he went to Angley.
I trusted this man. I really did. I trusted him. I didn't think that he had any bad intentions.
During the encounter, Brock said Angley urged him to touch himself. He complied.
And I was just like, left like, what just happened? you know?
Over decades, Ernest Angley has hailed himself as a healer, preaching from his pulpit here in Cuyahoga Falls to his worldwide ministry. So when Brock had a rash, he says Angley insisted on healing him with private massages in Angley's bedroom.
Again, in my mind, like, the first time this happened, I'm just thinking, like, this has to be a bad dream. You know, and I'm just praying, like, God, just let this stop. Just get me through this.
Brock's moment of clarity came in Angley's bedroom when he says the Reverend asked to kiss.
And it was just like the veil was completely lifted from my eyes, and I saw him in that moment for the monster that he is.
His parents said they left the church as well after hearing the shame their son carried for years.
At first, it made me realize questions I'd had in my mind for years, all of a sudden I knew the answer to all of them. After a few nights without sleep, I wanted to kill the man.
In the 4 years that have passed, Brock, now 33, continues to heal.
It really is a horrible thing to control and to manipulate people's lives, but to do it in the name of God, like he's done for so many years, and to just destroy lives in the name of God and separate families in the name of God is a horrible thing, and I can't think of anything worse and more deviant than that.
Angley, who's now 97, has filed a counter lawsuit, strongly denying Brock's claims. Through his attorney, he declined an on-camera interview. As for Brock, he's divorced and living in South Carolina. He tells us he's still in counseling, working to reconcile his faith in God. I'm Annie Abraham, Channel 3 News.
Despicable. And you see his father there crying and saying, I wanted to kill the man, which is the usual reaction, I would imagine, from a father and a mother. Oh, dear. It's just awful. Just awful. Those people that covered up for him, they should be locked up. They should be locked up for not reporting these crimes that this man was committing against the people in his congregation, and still open for business over there. Still open for business. Yeah. Of course, I don't know if he ever comes out and preaches sermons. He's got people that have taken over the place. But let me play this clip about his plane. Now, did you ever hear of anybody having a 747? I never heard of a ministry having a 747. I found it hard to believe when my friend first told me about it, and then he sent me a picture of it. And so here's a news report about the airplane landing hard at the airport.
It's moments at the Akron Canton Airport. A Boeing 747 belonging to evangelist Ernest Angley landed hard around the noon hour today. News Channel 5's Pete Kenworthy joins us now. Pete, was Reverend Ernest Angley on that plane?
He was not on the plane, Leon. There were five people on board, and they all walked away without injuries. That's the good news. Here's the man who's familiar to so many people across the country, Ernest Angley. His church, Grace Cathedral, is in Cuyahoga Falls. He has both a daily and weekly TV show. Now, here is his plane today. It's called Star 777. It's a Boeing 747-SP. It was doing training exercises at around noon when it landed pretty hard and a couple of tires blew out.
So we did have to close down the runway for about 30 minutes after he'd landed, because when he did land, the impact was quite hard, and that caused several of his tires to blow. So we had to get that rubber off of the runway. It took us about a half an hour to clear all of that off. We had one airplane that circled for a while, and he landed without incident, and we had a U.S. Airways jet waiting to take off. He also took off about 30 minutes late, but did in fact get in the air.
Now, the plane is reportedly used to transport missionaries and humanitarian aid around the world. The National Transportation Safety Board will investigate today's incident. Live in the newsroom, Pete Kenworthy, News Channel 5.
Anyway, what's become of the 747, which is hard to believe? Where do you get that kind of money? Now, can you imagine this pervert running around calling himself a minister of the gospel, and he can afford a 747 jet? Oh, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. So anyway, there was something wrong with the landing gear, and they had to pay something like, I don't know if it was $400,000 or $100,000, $130,000. It was quite a bit of money to get this landing gear fixed, and they couldn't come up with the money, so they had to junk the airplane and sell it for parts, which they say can be pretty lucrative anyway, but he doesn't have his 747 anymore, which I'm sure he's probably not flying around being as old as he is. Maybe he probably doesn't even know where he is at this point, but also they had a buffet restaurant there at the church, and it's been there for many years. I think it was even there when Rex Humbard had the place. But noticeably, Ernest Ainsley, of course, didn't want to pay the people that worked at the restaurant. They had to volunteer. Now he's flying around in a 747, and he's paying millions of dollars probably for all these lawsuits that are being filed against him, but he can't pay his help. You have to volunteer. But that's a typical cult mentality. But the Bible says if people work, you're supposed to pay them. It's okay to volunteer every now and then, but to actually work at a restaurant every week, or I don't know how many times a week the place was open, and then they don't want to pay you. But anyway, they were sued, and they had to pay something like $300,000.
Televangelist and his restaurant. Our news partners at the Akron Beacon Journal are reporting that the U.S. Labor Department is filing suit against the Reverend Ernest Ainsley and his Cathedral Buffet in Cuyahoga Falls. The suit alleging Ainsley and his restaurant violated wage laws. In some cases, the suit claims that some workers were not paid and that others were underpaid. The Labor Department says the restaurant owes more than $200,000 in back wages.
Yeah, so they closed the place up because why should they pay people? Why should they pay people? That's typical cult mentality. I think this is the clip about the foreclosure. Let me see. Let's play it and see.
I believe in miracles.
WKYC has learned a civil foreclosure case has been filed in Summit County for Reverend Ernest Angeli's Winston Broadcasting Network, home to the studio facility for WBNX-TV. In January of 2013, the Ravenna-based Beck Energy Corporation loaned $3.6 million to the televangelist network, WBN, to pay off a promissory note held by PNC Bank. Records show WBN started making interest-only payments but failed to pay off the $3.6 million loan as agreed upon by February of 2016. Beck granted a year extension. However, when payments were still not made, Beck notified WBN earlier this year that the network was in default. The 95-year-old Reverend responded in July with this letter to smooth things over, saying, "I will be able to pay off that $3.6 million in just a very, very short time." According to the complaint, though, that payment never came. Three counts, including mortgage foreclosure, have now been filed. Representatives for Reverend Ainsley told us this afternoon they have no comment on the case.
They have no comment. They have no comment. Oh, unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Here, I'm going to play this clip again. We played it at the beginning of the program, but it was all garbled, but I'll play it again here about his heaven trip. This is his introduction, Ernest Ainsley.
I believe the miracle power of Almighty God is for everyone today. I was visited by God when I was 7 years of age, carried away by His Spirit, carried into the stars of heaven. There were stars everywhere, millions and millions of stars, and no way to number them. God said the stars were the souls that I would win for Him. With this heavenly vision from God, I bring to you His message of love, faith, and hope, salvation, and healing for all mankind throughout the whole
earth.
Reverend Ainslie invites you to attend a special life-changing service at the Grace Cathedral held each Friday evening. Your life will never be the same. People from all over the world attend to experience deliverance for soul, mind, and body. Reverend Ainslie, pastor of this world-famous church for the past 21 years, welcomes your attendance. Whatever your need, we believe God has the answer and is willing to hear your prayer. Reverend Ainslie and the church members believe that the crown of life will be our reward for faithfulness. We want to help you in any way we can. May God bless you is our prayer.
And a big hello to everybody today. The crusade is coming to you from Tampa, Florida. We showed you the Saturday night service already. And this is the Sunday afternoon service when I was in Tampa the last time. It is something fantastic what God did. I want you to call a neighbor and tell them about it. It's some crusade service. And my singers are going to sing for you. It'll be all right. I know you're going to be blessed today in an unbelievable way.
It wasn't all right. It wasn't all right. And that's like the light bulb should go off automatically when somebody starts telling you about how God took them up to heaven when they were 7 years old and they had the vision of all the stars and how great they were going to be. That's like, okay, run for your life at that point. Run for your life. Help.
Next segment. Just a word of warning to families who are watching. The subject matter may get a bit graphic. Internationally known local televangelist Ernest Ainslie has been entangled in a lawsuit alleging sexual abuse that came to light last summer. Now, the Akron Beacon Journal has obtained a recording where Ainslie admitted to his assistant minister the encounters alleged in that lawsuit. And joining us tonight is the reporter behind a two-part story this week detailing this new twist in the case. But a guy has been following it beyond this two-part series, and that is Bob Dyer. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. The recording that was never made public until probably, what was it, 10 years after it happened. And in the meantime, other people were being molested at this church. Oh, dear. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But it goes on. These kind of things go on, and people are abused and misused by these people that they trust. And that hurts. That can really scar somebody for life sometimes, where they'll turn their back on the Lord. And of course, you can't blame Jesus because of what other people do. Don't ever, ever leave Jesus because of what somebody else did to you. It's not his fault about what another person did. But let's listen to Job. This is a great scripture. Job 31.
Chapter 31. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty? And a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat, yea, let my offspring be rooted up. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. If I did despise the cause of my manservant, or of my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up, And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he that made me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof, for from my youth he was brought up with me, as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he would not warm it with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. If the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book. Surely I would take it upon my shoulder and bind it as a crown to me. I would declare unto him the number of my steps. As a prince would I go near unto him. If my land cry against me, or that the furrows likewise thereof complain, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockle instead of barley. The words of Job are ended.
Yeah. Words of wisdom there for sure, right? The word of God always has the best instruction for us. The best instruction. Dear God, help us. As the day approaches when Jesus will return, oh, that wonderful day. But for us that are here for now, we just have to be so vigilant and to be our brother's keeper. When we see these kind of abusive situations going on, we have to intervene. And I know some people say, well, yeah, like he was saying, don't talk about it, because people will get hurt. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to continue to talk about it and to try to help God's people get strong in the Word of God so that we can stand in this evil day, because it's so evil. And where are the true shepherds? There's some people out there. Thank God for good men and women of God out there that really love God, and their whole purpose in life is to preach the gospel and to help God's people, to strengthen God's people, and not take advantage of the people of God. But for the most part, what you see is you see these perverts and these criminals. Really, they're criminals. They've God just turned them over to a reprobate mind. They don't even have any decency at all left. So it's very dangerous, really, for men and women too to make vast amounts of money for themselves, and usually they do it by collecting tithe money, which is 10%. So they're able to build these kingdoms by manipulating people to give this money with promises of God returning it if they give it. and these people become so wealthy. And the wealthier they get and the more possessions they get, sometimes the weirder they get. So it was never meant to be that way in churches, that the pastor gets wealthy off of the people in the congregation and then he loses his way. So what does that profit? What does that profit? The pastor should take a salary, a decent salary, but please, you don't have to be greedy when they're picking, saying how much the pastor is supposed to have for a salary. A normal salary, and a normal house. One pastor, we found out, was living in a $6 million house. Why? Why is he allowed to take 10% of people's money? People work hard. They have families, most people that go to church. And the pastor's living in a multi-million dollar house. Why? Why is that necessary? It's not. It's not necessary. If he's entitled to earn a living for his work, of course, but he's not entitled to just help himself to spend the money on his lusts. And meanwhile, there's people in the congregation that are hurting, and they're asking the question. I heard one supposed pastor say, well, I have people come up to me all the time and say, well, when is my ship going to come in? Basically, I've been tithing over here for years and seed sowing. When am I supposed to expect my blessing? Well, he tells them, just keep giving. Yeah. Some people, they're giving 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. They're still waiting for their ship to come in. Well, you gave for the wrong motives, number one, because you're not supposed to give to get. You give because you love people and you want to help people. It's not about you. Because Jesus said we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And how much do you love yourself? If you just love yourself. Forget about your neighbor when you're just thinking about save this money and I'm going to get 100-fold return. Well, that's not loving your neighbor. That's just loving yourself. And yourself is not going to get anything. Because the way you get things in this life is not because you give God money or you give your pastor money or you give money seed sowing to Mike Murdoch and the rest of these people. The way you get money in this life is you get a job. That's how my family earned a living, is they went to work every day. My mother and father went to work from the time that they were teenagers till the time that they were in their 60s and they retired. They went to work, so they were able to accumulate things, which you should have something to show for 40 years of working. You should have something, unless you were totally irresponsible by overspending and buying things you couldn't afford and buying things on credit. Now, you can buy things on credit as long as you can pay it back, but if you can't pay it back and you're just buying things and then you've got $100,000 worth of credit card bills, you've got $100,000 mortgage, you have $50,000 in loans on your cars, and then you can't pay your bills. And then you're saying, I better go sow some seed over at the church and I better step up my tithing so then God can get me out of this mess. And that's how most people think. That's wrong. It's wrong. I'm not saying God can't get you out of the mess. Yeah, he can get you out of the mess. But you might have to suffer a little bit. You might have to suffer. So what do most people cry about in churches? Finances. And they're always looking for a way to get more money. Well, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the Bible says. So I'm not saying that God can't give you some kind of, he could give you a miracle, but it's not going to be because you tithe or because you sow seed. Somebody might be good to you along the way, or you might get a better job, you might get a promotion or whatever. Yeah, things can happen in your life, but it's not because you gave Benny Hinn money, or you gave Morris Cirillo money, or you gave Mike Murdoch money. That has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. And most of the people that I knew when I was in the Word of Faith movement, which I was in for 15 years, but I got out in 1997, most of the people I knew were always broke. The people that weren't broke were the popular ministers. They weren't the broke ones, but of course, they were on top of the pyramid scheme. So was the pastor. So usually the pastor lived large. He usually had one of the better houses. There might have been a few people in the church that actually had some money. And those were always the favorite people of the pastor, of course, you know, because they were the big tithers and the big givers. So the pastor had to be especially nice to them, which the pastor shouldn't even know who's giving what at the church, really. You shouldn't even know that, because you tend to discriminate human nature being as it is. But that's how it goes. So people, then they'll strive to say, yeah, I would like to be like Kenneth Copeland, and I would like to be like Jesse Duplantis that lives in I think his house is something like 30,000 square feet. Who needs a 30,000 square feet? Like, why is this guy collecting any more offerings? When is it going to be enough? When does he need another $50 million or $60 million jet? For what? He doesn't need to go anywhere. There's preachers. Everywhere he goes, there's plenty of preachers. No matter what foreign country he goes to, he can be training the pastors in those countries so he doesn't have to fly over there on his $60 million jet. What does he have to say anyway? The only reason he's going over there is to tell you, look at how rich I am, and you can get rich like me by following these principles. Well, you're not going to get as rich as him unless God gives you some kind of a witty invention and something like that, where you'll earn some money. But he's been collecting tithe money for many years, and then he flies all over the place telling people how they can get rich. And so then he gets more money. People give him more money because they say, wow, this is good ground. Let me sow some seed over here. And it's a vicious circle. It's just a vicious circle. So don't believe these people. Don't believe these people. And sell out to God totally, no matter what it takes. No matter what it takes. A friend of mine and we were talking, we were saying, well, you see what happens is people won't sell out. They won't sell out. They won't say, well, look, I'm willing to give up my public ministry until I get my head on straight. If I can't preach the gospel, and if I can't teach the gospel honestly and tell people exactly what it says, whether I get an offering or I don't get an offering, then you don't belong in the ministry. And you should sit down until you get your motives straight and until you get your doctrine straight, because you're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt people in the process. So most people won't admit that they're wrong, or they're teaching the wrong doctrine or whatever. And so they continue to fleece God's people and compromise. But when you start compromising, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose out on your relationship with God, which is the most important thing, is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's going to keep you steady. He's going to keep you grounded. You're not going to go crazy like Ernest Angley, who became a crazy person. And most of the people, I would have to say, most of the people over there became crazy because they just said, it doesn't matter what he does. We don't believe it. Even if the words came out of his own mouth about what he was doing when he called people in his office to inspect their parts, they would say, even though that's his voice and he's saying it, we don't believe it. And that's what people that are brainwashed do. And so that's going to happen more and more if people don't leave these places And if they don't get their doctrine straight and their motives straight, and it's like, okay, we've seen enough of this. We've seen enough of it. And we don't want to see this anymore. No, we want to see godliness. We want to see righteousness. We want to see the pastors and the leaders to set a godly example for the people, and especially people in the world. Just imagine living over there in Akron, and the people there are reading these stories and seeing these stories on the news, and it makes a mockery of the gospel. And then there's no repentance. There's no public repentance from these people at this building that they're going to, that I don't even like to refer to as a church. And there's no repentance from Ernest Angley publicly asking the people to forgive him and for the people he's misled and he's continuing to mislead. But that's what happens. That's what happens. Their heart gets hard. And when you're not willing to get down on your knees when you sin and you do things that aren't right, if you're not willing to get down on your knees and beg God for forgiveness and cry for forgiveness and be repentant, then something's wrong. At that point, something is really wrong when you can't repent anymore and you can't feel godly sorrow. And that's what's happened over there. But it's shocking. I was totally shocked when I was preparing for this program by the things that I read and listened to. And there's things I listened to that I wouldn't put on the air. Of the words that came out of Ernest Angley's mouth on audio tape that they were released to the public. Horrible. Horrible. So let's be vigilant and let's be sober and remember that who our enemy is. It's running around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Well, he's not going to devour us. We're going to stay strong and we're going to stay in the Word of God and we're going to stand up for righteousness until Jesus comes, no matter what it costs. And that's our battle cry. But the most important thing is, no matter what you see around you, no matter what anybody else is doing, don't miss your opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, because he said he would never leave you or forsake you. And Jesus came from heaven. He didn't have to come, but he came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven in a body. Everybody knows that story, whether they believe it or not, they heard it. But he ascended into heaven in a body, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he said he's coming again. And if he said he's coming again, he's coming. He died to give you a brand new life so that you could be free of your sins and be born again. That's what it means to be born again. It's first you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God by confessing your sins and asking God to forgive you and asking Jesus to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. And get a Bible and start reading it. And get that Word of God inside of you. It's eye-opening. The wisdom that comes from God and the ways he tells us to live. It's just beautiful. You'll never regret it. So God bless you today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate all my listeners all over the world. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. City that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.